you often, you are the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And together with the Holy Spirit, you are family. And you are teaching us how to do family together. It is your principles, it is your life that we want to follow, Lord Jesus. It is your life in us that we respect, that we fear, like Peter says. We fear you, Lord. We fear you enough to understand that this is the beginning of wisdom, to follow after you passionately. We don't want to do religion this morning. We want to follow you, Father. Lord Jesus, when your disciples, when you said to them, make you also want to go away, I said, we can't, you have the words of life. We want to declare this morning, Lord Jesus, you have the words of life. We cannot go away from you. We need you to live life. There's a world out there, Father, that we need to reach. So change us, Lord. Change our hearts, make it soft. We don't want to have a stubborn heart. We want to be soft before you, to follow eagerly after you. Bless this word. As we speak it this morning, as we think about it, as we hear it, thank you, Father, that you have raised the word above your own name. Your word is Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the only way. We thank you, Father. We are still in the book of Acts. We're in Acts 19, same verses that we did last Sunday, verse 1 to 5. Last Sunday we spoke about baptism, the word John's baptism appeared twice between Acts 18 and 19, we spoke about that. And we said that the baptism of John was the end of a dispensation, it was the end of the law and the prophets. And it was a transition period. And it entered the transition to the next dispensation, which was the gospel. And we asked, what is the gospel? And we said, the gospel is good news about Jesus. The gospel is actually much more. The gospel is God creating everything. And he did it perfectly. Every time after a day, day one, day two, Gabriel, you've read those questions and answers on creation. After day one, God said it was perfect when he created light. He separated light from darkness. Every day he said it was perfect. So what happened? The fall happened. God said, there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's the tree of life. We still have those trees today. And we still have the choice to follow after the knowledge of good and evil, or follow after the tree of life. Adam and Eve, like we know, they chose the tree that God said, do not eat from that tree, and man fell. Man fell because of rebellion in his heart. The reason that Satan was thrown out of heaven with a third of his angels was because he rebelled against God. Satan was a glorious figure in heaven. He was music in heaven. The way God created him, if he opened his mouth, music flowed from him. But there came a day when Satan said, why can't I sit on that throne? Why can God alone sit on that throne? And that is the days he rebelled in his heart. And exactly the same happened to Adam and Eve. And exactly the same root is in our hearts. So after that, Jesus came. Talk about the incarnation. Jesus, that was God. He was the Son of God. He emptied himself from his glory. Only God can do that. But he emptied himself from all glory. And he came as a man to earth. Came in the flesh. That is the difference with any other religion, is that there's only one that came in the flesh. And that is Jesus. There's only one that lived a sinless life. and that was Jesus. And because he was the Lamb of God, we sang about the Lamb of God, because he was the Lamb of God, he could be crucified on the Passover, when normally they slay an innocent lamb to cover sin for another year. So he became that lamb forever and ever. Nobody has to be crucified again. Jesus was crucified once and for all. He became sin so that we now can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So there was an exchange happening there. He took all our sin on him, and he that was righteous, he gave those righteousness to us. So that when we believe, what is faith? Faith is when you hold out your hand and, Lord, I receive. Like you receive a gift when it's your birthday. You receive salvation. Salvation is a free gift from God. Like the Holy Spirit. We're going to speak about the Holy Spirit this morning. It appears in Acts 19 verse 1 to 5. Holy Spirit is a gift from God. Jesus said to the disciples, we're going to read the scriptures, go and wait in Jerusalem until I send you the gift of my Father, which is the Holy Spirit. So we have the cross, we have Jesus that substituted. He was our substitution. He died for us. Then God came and raised him up, seated him at his right hand in heaven. And Ephesians 2 says, 2 verse 1 says, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and together with Christ we were raised from the dead. So we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. That is our identity. Not who the devil says we are, not who the world says we are, or our parents or our teachers. That is our identity, what God says about us. So all of that is the gospel. It's what God created in the beginning. God wants to restore everything at the end. He is the Alpha, He's the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Salvation is not about an individual becoming saved. Salvation is the restoration of the whole world, everything God created, His whole cosmos. Everything is going to be restored like it was in the beginning. So let's read Acts 19 verse 1 to 5. The topic is that you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed. So a little bit of context before we read that. Paul came to Ephesus, the city of Ephesus. I can show you on the map. I think we know by now where Ephesus is. So Asia Minor, which is Turkey today. Let's see if this thing works. There's Asia Minor. Ephesus is here. Or it was here near the coast. It's not there anymore because the coast, the river coming through the city of Ephesus brought salt down, and it wasn't a harbor city anymore. There's Ephesus. So we're in Ephesus in the book of Acts, and Paul came to the city after he's been to Jerusalem. He started with his third missionary journey, and he found disciples. And they were acting as if they were Christian disciples, Christians. And he asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit? Because you can see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The fruit of the Holy Spirit manifests in gifts that flow through us. It manifests in the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, that flows through us. So Paul must have noticed something, and that's why he asked this question. Have you received the Holy Spirit when you were baptized or when you believed? And they said no. So let's read that scripture. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. Does this sound good there at the back? And there he found some disciples, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is the Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. So we have focused on the first part of the scripture. We're going to focus on the last part, where he says, okay, so what happened here is that when they said they don't even know about the Holy Spirit, when they were baptized in the River Jordan, when John baptized them, they heard about the Holy Spirit. So the translation is not 100% correct. Because John said to them, I baptize with water, the one who comes after me. John was always showing towards Jesus. And the whole Bible is like that. Every book, even Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, all of them are showing to Jesus. When you read any book in the Bible, look for Jesus in that book. Even though you don't see his name, every book is showing towards Jesus. He says, the one that comes after me will baptize in the Holy Spirit. And this is what's happening here. That's why Paul asked him this question. When you believed, what did they believe? John said to them, there's one that's coming after me. You need to repent. Repent meaning you walk in this direction. This is your own way. My way, my career, my things. Jesus calls you and you turn around. Jesus' way. Jesus' plans. Jesus' blueprint for this world. It's a bigger picture. It's a bigger pond, if you like. We are in this small pond, which is called Marius. He invites me to come into a bigger pond, which is the kingdom of God. So he finds these disciples, and he preaches the gospel to them. He tells them, John told them, there's one coming after me, Jesus. Paul comes, he tells them about Jesus. He says, after John, Jesus was crucified. He was resurrected, and he went up to be with the Father. So he shares the gospel with his disciples. They believe, and they come to salvation. He baptizes them, and then he prays for them. He lays his hands on them, and he prays for them. And what happens? The Holy Spirit falls on them. Luke used the writer of the book of Acts, same writer as the book of Luke. He's got all these different terms that he used for the Holy Spirit. Infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit falling on you. So he's got all these different terms that he's using. I don't think we must go into a debate which one is which. It stays the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is involved from the time you get saved, because he's the one that convicts you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's the one that allows the fruit to flow through you. I wanted to use this picture a bit later, but I'll use it now. Remember the parable that Jesus told of the 10 virgins? 5 were full, their lamps were full with oil. So it means it could burn in that context. We don't really use lamp as such now. Then 5 lamps were empty, which means it could burn for a limited time. So the oil represents the Holy Spirit. We've got oil here. When we pray for people, we sometimes anoint them with oil. It represents the Holy Spirit. It is not the Holy Spirit, but it represents the Holy Spirit. So the parable that Jesus was telling, that 5 of them were staying in a sphere of love. 5 of them were not staying in a sphere of love, because God is love. So 5 of them were busy with the things of the world, day-to-day running of the world, everyday things, and 5 of them were busy, even though they were raising kids, going to work, but they were focused on loving people, loving God. Remember, all the laws of the first 5 books of the Bible is captured in this one law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes your neighbor is a very difficult person. Maybe sometimes your neighbor is a boss that's really hard on you and he's nailing you. He says, love them as you love yourself. So, in very simple terms, 5 of these virgins were staying in a sphere of love, the love of God. 5 of them not. They were running on emotions, doing their own thing. And when the bridegroom came, there was trumpet, and there was a call, and they said, the bridegroom is coming. Five were ready. The other five says, borrow some of your oil. It's not possible. Time spent with the Lord, sitting at his feet, I can't just transfer it to yours in an instant. It's a relationship with Jesus, which goes two ways. I hear him, he hears me. He recognized my voice, I recognize his voice. It's a relationship. I can't transfer that oil. So it's very precious. The first point that I want to make in terms of the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit, is conformity to Christ. This is something that happens when you walk with the Holy Spirit. You don't conform to the spirit of this world. You conform to Christ. Last week when we spoke about baptism, I think it's in one of the, we're going to look at another verse just now. Maybe let's go there. They start running through some scriptures on baptism in the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so. Now, Jesus was setting an example. He was setting a prototype. He wants all of his believers that follow him to follow in his footsteps. Let it be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. So there's a difference here in all the people he baptized to Jesus. John baptized all these hundreds of people coming from all over. He did not baptize you if you do not repent. When the Pharisees and Sadducees came to him, he said, I will not baptize you. Go and carry fruit that follows repentance. Meaning, first change your heart. Your heart needs to be cut. Your heart needs to be circumcised. And then if there's fruit, I will baptize you. So the baptism was happening through repentance, through confession of sins. Let it be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Once again an example. Jesus was baptized, heavens opened, the Holy Spirit came onto him. At that moment, Jesus was empowered for ministry. His ministry started there. Immediately after this, the Holy Spirit called him into the wilderness. He spent 40 days in the wilderness without food. And then the enemy came and tempted him. After that, 3 years ministry, and then crucifixion. The Holy Spirit has got exactly the same role in our life. You may think you're not a minister, but the Bible calls you a minister. He says all of us that's received the ministry of reconciliation, we are ambassadors for Christ. Whether you speak or not speak, your life is speaking. We are this living letter, this fragrance that's going up to God. It's a fragrance of life, not of death. So the life we live is a letter to other people. Whether you speak to them or not, they can see Jesus in you. They experience the fruit of the Spirit within you. So my first point is conformity to Christ. And let's carry on with the scripture. Behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Can you see the triune God? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in this one verse. And it's beautiful. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. That is our religion, which is not really a religion, it's a relationship, to follow after Christ. Not to do stuff. I have to do this, I have to pray, I have to read Bible, I have to give to the poor, I have to do this, that. That was the previous dispensation, that stopped with John. We are in a dispensation of gospel, where everything's been done for us, we receive. Next verse. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. See that fragrant offering going up to God? That is our lives. As we just receive what Jesus has done for us and start walking in it. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove." So now the Spirit is not a dove, but he can be symbolized, like with oil, he can be symbolized like a dove. "And it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." So exactly like the Holy Spirit came on Jesus and remained. The same, Jesus is our example. Exactly the same happens to us. He comes on us and he remains on us. All these scriptures apply to his church. These are Jesus' words. Acts 1 verse 5. "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." He was speaking about himself. You will be baptized with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit. So he's speaking about, he's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost is a very old King James term, but it's the same as Holy Spirit. "And I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" This happened just after the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples. I remember they were afraid. It was not the fear of God that they had. It was the fear of man that they had. They didn't want to go out in the streets. They thought the people are going to take them to the authorities, the Sanhedrin and the Roman authorities. So they were scared. But now what happened when the Holy Spirit fell on them? They were full of the boldness. They were out in the streets, and this is what they were saying. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart." When Peter spoke to the crowds were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent." There's that word again. "Turn from my way." There's a song, "My Way." Old song, "My Way." "Turn from my way to Jesus' way." It's amazing that the way, if you read the book of Acts, you'll see the way appearing a couple of times. Paul was persecuting the people of the way. It's the way of Jesus Christ. It's the way of following Jesus Christ. They could recognize the difference. When Jews came to repentance and they started following Jesus, other Jews and even Gentiles, the Romans, especially the Romans, could see, listen, this is not Judaism. This is something else. And they started calling them the people of the way, the way of Jesus Christ. "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 10. "And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God." So there you see the fruit of the Holy Spirit. "For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God." They were worshipping God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" There's not a formula, first this, then that. God does it the way He wants to do it. And He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Him to remain for some days. So, can I start with my sermon? That was the introduction. Conformity to Christ. Okay. "For just as this body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." So who's the body? We are the body. Jesus is the head. The body cannot move away from the head. And sometimes we as churches, we do that. We stop getting our instructions from the Lord. And then a beautiful church like ours becomes a religion. What is religion? When Jesus went to his family town in Galilee and he wanted to preach to them, the Bible says he couldn't do any miracles there. Because Afrikaans it says, die oorleweringe van die ou mense. Because of these traditions of men that was carried over. Yes, my oma did that, and my opa, grootjie did that. That's the traditions of men carrying over. And Jesus himself could not do any miracles in his hometown. That's how powerful religion is. So we've got to step into the head all the time. Us as a church, it's a challenge for us to tap into the head all the time and get our instructions from Jesus. He's the head of the body. "Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit." And there's something powerful there. Is that it doesn't matter where you are in the world, whether it's a rich nation, a poor nation, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe the gospel, Jesus himself comes and baptizes you into his body by the Holy Spirit. We become part of this one body. It's not a lot of separate bodies all over the world. Different families, we can call ourselves a family. But it's one body across the world. And we're baptized into that body. What is the word he used here? "And all were made to drink of one Spirit." Isn't that beautiful? Think of a deer going to the water and he's thirsty and he's drinking of that water. Other deers come, they drink of the same river, maybe 100 kilometers further up, but it's the same water. But we're all drinking from the same Spirit. So this is so powerful when it comes to confirmation. What was the word I was using? Conformity. "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." So this is more than worshiping at church. This is daily, night and day. Your spiritual worship. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." There's transformation happening in a cycle of a butterfly. Complete transformation. If you go and measure that DNA, it's completely different DNA. The butterfly to the papal stage, completely different DNA. This is what he's talking about. We are transformed. It's different DNA. There was an old person, an old self. Now there's a new self. God's DNA is in that new self. The same that was in Adam and Eve when he created them, he put into us. We're made after his image. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. What is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, just go on to the next slide, yeah. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. So here he starts getting into the mechanics. So we have the Holy Spirit. So this is the result of having the Holy Spirit in us. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. So prophecy is not something we decide to do. It flows from us by the Holy Spirit. If service, in our serving, your heart will burn to do something, to serve somebody or something for God. So that is God working in you. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, exhorts to encourage. In his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So those are all things that flow. It's gifts. We know the 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 gifts. There's about 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit there. It's the same. They flow. As we are in the Holy Spirit, as we stay in the sphere of love, the Holy Spirit flows these gifts. That oil is full all the time because he fills it up. We can't go to God and say, fill us up. We flow with the Holy Spirit. We stay in the sphere of love. We say, Lord, I cannot love Ian. And then I just go and rest in the Lord because of the work that he did 2,000 years ago on the cross. And I say, Lord, give me your eyes for Ian. And then that love kicks in by the Spirit. We think we have control over these things, but they are all by the Spirit. The same way we came to salvation by the Spirit and are filled by the Spirit, he works these gifts and also the character of Jesus through us. So I said, yeah, how do we walk in the Spirit? Point two. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. So this is our enemy, and it's in this body. This body connects us to this earth. The reason we are on this earth is because we have a body like this. This body is an interface to this earth. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. So can you see what is the enemy of the flesh? These are what the Holy Spirit brings against that enemy. Because of what Jesus did, this is also in us. This is in our spirit man. So you have sins in your body, sensuality and all those things, but then you have this powerful fruit that is by the Holy Spirit in your spirit man. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. How do we crucify the flesh? I'm mentioning in Ephesians 2 verse 1 that God said we were dead in trespasses in sin. Trespasses is when you go off the road. You drive in the middle of the road and you maybe fall asleep. That's happened to me near Gravelot. And you go off the road and you wake up and it's just bushes in front of you. That's a trespass. You go off the road. God says we were dead in trespasses and sins. But He raised us up together with Christ. God is doing it, not us. He's doing this. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So by living in the Spirit, we remind ourselves that we are raised with Jesus Christ. That we were crucified in Him. We are a new creature in Christ. You have to train your mind. Your mind has been trained for 20 years, and some of us 30, 40 years, much more in other cases. Our mind has been trained. Now we need to conform to Christ. Not to the spirit of the world. It's the easiest is to conform to the spirit of this age. We are blasted with information every day. It's easy to just give up and say, yeah, but everyone's doing it, so all Christians are doing it, so I'm also going to do it. No, we have a standard, and that is the Word, and we have the Holy Spirit. We have what God did for us through Jesus Christ, and we choose to abide by that. Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who is able to do far more, to Him, it's not us doing it, to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Shall we walk in the Spirit? One more verse for that point. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy. How much energy do you have? I get to 4 or 5 o'clock, it's done. And then my day is not done, but my energy is done. He says that we, for this I toil, struggling with all His energy, that He powerfully works within me. It's His energy working within us. I said to someone the other day, you've got to work that dynamo that is within you. We're going to read that verse just now. But one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is praying in tongues. The Lord says He gave us a language that only He understands. Our mind can't interpret it. And as we pray in the tongue that is given us, that dynamo in us is turning and power is being generated. Struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me. Point 3. So we've had, the first point was conformity to Christ. It's a principle. Second point was, how do we walk in the Spirit or live in the Spirit? The third point, our life is the life of Christ. This is not easy, living the life of Christ. But it is mediated by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit Himself. You all know this, but I'm going to read it. Matthew 5, verse 2. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for this is the kingdom of heaven. Remember that picture that I saw of the low-lying places, empty holes, His Spirit comes and fills up that hole. What we perceive as a weakness, He comes and fills up, and He uses our weakness for His glory. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for this is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek doesn't mean weak. A good illustration I heard once of meekness is a horse, a powerful horse, under control of the reins that's keeping him. That's meekness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Whose account? Jesus' account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. See, just that last verse, the world teaches us, somebody hurt you, hurt them back. I've said many times, how do you treat the bully? By being stronger than him. Going just that much stronger back, as I mean. But this is not what this word is saying. He says you will have joy when people persecute you and you do nothing. You think, okay, they did it for Jesus. They persecuted him. So I'm in good company. And joy will be released. Joy is a strength. You guys know that. Joy is a strength that is released. When you pray for someone and that prayer is answered, you hear their testimony. Joy is released within you because of that answer to prayer. Say, thank you, God. You don't even have to say it to them, you prayed for them. But there's a joy that is released within you. That is your strength. So there's three chapters there. You guys can go and read it. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But it's the life of Jesus. And the only way we can live that life is by the Holy Spirit. I wrote here, the Lord has utter confidence in His own life made available to His children. His utter confidence in His own life made available to His children. That is Matthew 5 that we just read. Ephesians 4, but that is not, Ephesians 4:20, that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you've heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. It's as simple as saying, Lord, I don't want to live that old life. I want to live this new life. I want to put on this new self by you, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit is helper. We think we are alone. We are not alone. Every one of us that walk out here, walk out with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't stay behind in this building. There's nothing special about this building. It's brick and stone and dust. If you break it apart, there's nothing. The Holy Spirit is in His temple, and we are His temple. So we go, wherever we go, the Holy Spirit goes with us, and He is our helper. So this point is a difficult one. Being devoid of the Spirit or being low in the Spirit. That's it. Remember those versions we talked about? But you must remember, beloved, the prediction of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers. Scoffers is somebody that teases you or laughs at you, following their own ungodly passions. It is those who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. There you see that term, the void of the Spirit, no Holy Spirit. But you beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, into that sphere of the love of God. Keep yourself there, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. We have a hope that Jesus is coming. We have a world that is falling apart. Just switch on your television. But we have a hope that Jesus Christ is coming. And sometimes in the worst places, like Iran, thousands are coming to the Lord. I'm seeing the statistics and it's mind-boggling. China, thousands are coming to the Lord. In Iran, mosques at the time is coming to the Lord. Lord Jesus appears to the imam, and that imam starts preaching Jesus, and that whole mosque comes to the Lord. This is what's happening sometimes in war-torn countries. Jesus is there. In Gaza, I'm hearing testimonies of what's happening, how Jesus is appearing in Gaza to the mullahs, and they're coming to the Lord. Last point. You guys clear? Be filled with the Spirit. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You see the outflow of the Spirit. Singing and making melody to your Lord with your heart. You can sing there in the shower. Nobody's hearing you if you haven't got a singing voice. The Lord hears you. And for Him, it's like the best violin that He's playing, because He hears your heart. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So that word fault in Greek is pleuroste. Maybe I can try and spell it. It means allow yourselves to continually be made full. Allow yourselves. Isn't that beautiful? That's a place of receiving. Allow yourselves. As you abide with Jesus, go and read John 14, 15, 16. As you abide with Jesus, He comes and He abides with you. He fills you up. I always think about Jesus. After He's been with a crowd, He will just disappear. His disciples will go looking for Him. He will be on a mountain alone with His Father. Important that I write here is we share this with other Christians in mutual dependence. Many, many years I walked and thought I could walk with the Lord alone. It's never been His plan. His plan is embodied. The temple. The temple of Jerusalem is gone. The tent in the wilderness is gone. Now it's His body, His bride, His church. That is what remains. That's the mystery of all the ages. That God will come and dwell in the people. And the last thing I wrote here is, let us redeem the time. How do we redeem the time? What is redeem? If you redeem a voucher, you can cash in your voucher and you can buy something at this game or wherever you have a voucher. But how do we redeem time? How do we buy back time that we've lost? Wisdom is to seek this fullness sooner. Folly is to put this off till later. You seek the fullness of God and wait till next year. So Lord, I'm still going to do this and this and this. I'm going to get married this year. I must still have children. No. The fullness of God is for now. It's not for next year or after that. It's for now. Okay, so just to recap, we spoke about that you received the Holy Spirit when you believed. We talked about conformity to Christ. It's a principle. How do we walk in the Spirit or live in the Spirit? Our life is the life of Christ. Matthew 5, 6 and 7. Spoke about being devoid of the Spirit. Because you're going to encounter that many times. That you will be attacked and you will be laughed at. But know that next to that laughing, being a laughing stock, is this joy, the strength of Jesus being released in you. Because you're in the same company as Jesus. And the last one being filled with the Spirit. And allowing Him to fill us with the Spirit. Not ticking the box, okay, I'm filled with the Spirit. Infilling is happening all the time. If you have that picture of the 10 virgins, spending time with Jesus, He fills you up. and you have strength to go through your day, not run out of energy by 4 or 5 o'clock, but that energy that keeps on going, that dynamo that keeps on charging. And that is that for this morning. Any questions? Anything you don't understand? Debbie, you want me to carry on further?
No.
Okay.
Not today.
let me pray for us. Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for your word that is ever true. Your word was there at the beginning, Lord, when you spoke light into existence, when you spoke us into existence. And your word, Lord, will be there when everything is rolled up that we see now. Your word will still carry on. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the word. You are the living word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you teach us the heart of the Father. You search the depths of the Father and you can reveal it to us. We give you all glory for this, Lord Jesus. You are our King. You are our Lord. As we go home now, we thank you, Lord, that you go with us wherever we go. In Jesus' name.